Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Eye of the Bedlam Bride is the sixth novel in Matt Dinneman Dungeon Crawler Carl series, a post-apocalyptic lit RPG saga built around survival, game mechanics, alien entertainment, and violent absurdist comedy. The book follows Carl, a former Coast Guard veteran, and Princess Donut, his former girlfriend Kat, as they continue through a deadly dungeon that functions as a galaxy-wide reality show. This installment centers on the eighth floor, where crawlers must capture monsters that become cards in a competitive deck-building challenge. The stronger and more dangerous the captured creature, the more valuable the card becomes. The premise lets Dinneman combine tabletop gaming logic, collectible card strategy, horror imagery, and dark satire. The novel is not designed as a standalone entry. Much of its force depends on accumulated character history, shifting alliances, and the series' larger critique of spectatorship, exploitation, and entertainment built from suffering. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the eighth floor turns dungeon survival into a deck-building contest. The central mechanical idea of The Eye of the Bedlam Bride is the transformation of monsters into cards. Carl, Princess Donut, and the other crawlers are not simply fighting through rooms or leveling up through conventional combat. They must identify, capture, and assemble a limited set of creatures that can later be used as a deck. This gives the eighth floor a different strategic rhythm from a standard dungeon crawl. Strength matters, but so do timing, risk assessment, and the practical cost of acquiring a powerful monster. A deadly creature may be an ideal card, yet the attempt to capture it can weaken the party before the final confrontation. This structure also changes how readers interpret encounters. Monsters are threats, resources, and future tactical options at the same time. The system reflects a familiar logic from collectible card games and role-playing games, but Dinneman uses it narratively rather than as a rulebook exercise. The result is a plot where combat choices have deferred consequences. Each captured decision affects later possibilities, and every enemy can become part of a future hand. This makes the floor feel like a self-contained game mode while still serving the larger survival story. Secondly, Carl and Princess Donut balance tactical competence with emotional continuity. Carl and Princess Donut remain the emotional center of the novel because their partnership gives structure to an otherwise chaotic world. Carl brings practical judgment, endurance, and a growing awareness of how the dungeon manipulates contestants. Donut brings theatrical confidence, social instinct, and a distinct comic energy that often changes the tone of a scene without reducing its danger. Their dynamic matters because the series depends on contrast. The world is grotesque, commercialized, and deliberately unfair, yet the bond between the two leads keeps the narrative from becoming only a sequence of violent set pieces. In this installment, the pressure of the card-based challenge tests not only their combat ability, but also their capacity to make decisions under public scrutiny. The dungeon constantly converts private fear, grief, and loyalty into content for an audience. Carl and Donut therefore have to manage strategy and performance simultaneously. Their relationship also gives the book continuity across the series. Readers are not only tracking levels, items, and enemies. They are watching how repeated trauma, public manipulation, and small victories reshape the pair. This emotional through line helps the lit RPG mechanics carry character weight rather than functioning as decorative game terminology. Thirdly, She Maria makes madness a tactical and thematic threat. The title figure, She Maria, known as the Bedlam Bride, gives the installment its most distinctive danger. She is not merely another strong monster to defeat or capture. Her reputation is tied to insanity, divine entanglement, and the instability of the dungeon floor itself. Because Carl and Donut need powerful cards, the logic of the game pushes them toward the worst possible target. That design is important. The book creates tension by making the optimal strategic choice also psychologically hazardous. A creature whose attack can drive opponents insane changes the meaning of preparation, armor, damage output, and ordinary combat planning are insufficient if the threat attacks perception, judgment, or mental stability. She Maria also connects the monster capture plot to the novel broader mythology, including forgotten gods and unresolved grudges. This prevents the card game structure from feeling isolated from the series' larger world. The Bedlam Bride embodies the way Dinneman often escalates a joke or gaming mechanic until it becomes genuinely disturbing. The name suggests theatrical absurdity, but the underlying function is serious. She forces characters to confront a system where victory requires approaching forces that can damage the self as much as the body. Fourthly, the reality show framework turns violence into satire of spectatorship. The Dungeon Crawler Carl series is built on the premise that human catastrophe has been converted into entertainment for a galactic audience. And The Eye of the Bedlam Bride continues to sharpen that satirical frame. The eighth floor is not only a battlefield. It is a program spectacle designed to generate drama, rivalries, surprise rules, and marketable suffering. The card capture challenge fits this logic because it turns survival into a recognizable entertainment format. Competitors build decks, audiences track favorites, and the dungeon system encourages escalating risk for maximum spectacle. This makes the novel more than a game-inspired adventure. It is also a critique of systems that reward cruelty when cruelty is profitable or attention-grabbing. The deteriorating AI adds another layer, since the show machinery is not a neutral referee. It is unstable, intrusive, and capable of shaping events in ways that blur fairness and manipulation. The humor often comes from the absurdity of presentation, but the underlying joke is bleak. People are forced to perform under conditions they did not choose, while remote viewers consume their trauma as serialized entertainment. That tension between comedy and exploitation is a major reason the book stands apart from more straightforward dungeon progression fantasy. Lastly, series continuity makes the book rewarding but not fully standalone. The Eye of the Bedlam Bride gains much of its impact from being the sixth entry in an ongoing series. By this point, readers have already followed Carl and Donut through multiple floors, watched the rules mutate, and seen the dungeon expand from a survival scenario into a larger political and cosmic system. This accumulated context allows Dinnaman to move quickly. He can introduce a new floor mechanic, deepen existing tensions, and rely on prior emotional investment without re-explaining every relationship. The advantage is density. The book can combine deck-building strategy, divine mythology, AI instability, character trauma, and comic banter because earlier volumes have established the tonal contract. The limitation is accessibility. A new reader may understand the basic premise, but many character reactions, alliances, running jokes, and emotional stakes depend on previous books. This is especially true because the series treats game statistics and mechanics as part of long-term character development. Levels, skills, items, and public reputation are not reset between installments. They accumulate like scars. For continuing readers, that continuity is one of the book's strengths. For newcomers, it makes this volume better approached as part of a sequence rather than as an independent lit RPG adventure. In conclusion, The Eye of the Bedlam Bride is best suited to readers already invested in Dungeon Crawler Carl, especially those who enjoy lit RPG systems that directly shape plot decisions rather than sitting in the background. It will also appeal to fans of dark comic science fiction, tabletop gaming, reality show satire, and stories where absurd premises conceal serious emotional consequences. The practical pleasure of the book comes from watching characters reason through constrained systems, how to choose targets, manage risk, exploit rules, and survive when the rules themselves are hostile. Its intellectual interest lies in how it treats entertainment as a form of power. The dungeon is a game, a prison, a broadcast platform, and a marketable catastrophe at once. Compared with many progression fantasy or dungeon crawl novels, this installment stands out because its mechanics are inseparable from satire and character pressure. Pressure, the card-based floor could have been a simple gimmick, but it instead reorganizes the story around resource selection, psychological danger, and public performance. The novel is less appropriate as a starting point for the series, but for returning readers, it offers a distinctive blend of strategic gaming structure, grotesque humor, escalating mythology, and emotional continuity. If you would like to support Matt Dinnaman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.